So would you join me in warmly welcoming and prepare your hearts to receive from our dear brother, Pastor Larry Bullard. We're so happy he's part of our Grace House family. Come on up.
There is a download of rest in this room this morning. Thank you, Pastor. What a pair of awesome pastors we have. Amen. Pastors Eddie and Sister Mickey. I do encourage you and please intercede for them daily. I can tell you that it's the little foxes that try to spoil the vines. It's a thousand little things that you and I never even think about that comes across their plates. And so we honor the two of you and we hold you in high esteem. My text and my message are both the same. Psalm 116 verse 7. Psalm 116 verse 7. Listen to this. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit dropped a nugget into my spirit, and that nugget is this, and it's the genesis of my message this morning. At this very moment, as we sit here, the eternal God of the universe is at perfect rest. He sees the civil wars in Yemen. He sees the genocide in Rwanda. He sees the brutal massacre of his own people. And he sees the battles in your own breast right now. And yet, he has promised you, he has procured and provided for you his peace. That's what he dropped into my spirit. That is beyond rational. That is transrational. It's revelational knowledge. How can that be? Perhaps he knows something we don't know. The word rest in the New Testament is the word anaposis. It is in a noun form and a verb form. The noun form, here's a definition I found on the noun form for rest. Listen to this. The sphere of satisfaction. You could camp out there 30 minutes. The sphere of satisfaction. And in the verb form, it's very important. And anapaio, that is in the passive tense, which means the subject is acted upon. You are being acted upon by someone outside of you. That's what that means. That's very important. That means it's not something you conjure up. It's not a positive set of 40 theories you remember every day. It's something he does for you. Haven't you noticed that religion's always raising the bar? If you don't raise it yourself, somebody else will be glad to. But he gives you rest. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I have two affirmations this morning, only two. Two affirmations. The first one is this. Our blessed Lord Jesus is our eternal Sabbath. He is our eternal Sabbath. I have only two affirmations, but I have 27 subpoints. He is our eternal Sabbath. Jesus fought constantly about the Sabbath when he was here, remember? He warred over the Sabbath. It is the desire in God's heart that his people have a Sabbath. It was so important he instituted a day for his people. Now here's the deal. The law could never bring eternal rest. It was not intended to. It was a type and a shadow. The law could not bring rest. It never could. It never will. The Sabbath was a promise. The Sabbath is a person. And so Colossians 2, 16 and 17 make this clear. Listen to what Paul said. He says, don't let anyone judge you concerning the Sabbath. For all of these things were a shadow of what was to come. But the substance is Christ. Think about it like this. Had you rather have a photograph of your children or have them in your living room? Well, the answer is obvious. I get to see my children more often now than ever, and they don't understand this yet, but you know, you feel this way if you're a parent or a grandparent. When my children or grandchildren are at my, it's like a holiday. I mean, everything's on hold. I buy ice cream. I buy no-nos. And I love every minute of it. It's like a holiday. And our Lord Jesus is not a photograph. He's a person. He's in person. He's real. And that's the Sabbath was pointing to that. A shadow can never do for you what the substance can do. It's an incredible thing how religion gets so caught up on shadows. But the substance is what our hearts are after. There is no, think about your own, I want to make this practical this morning. Think about the laws you put on yourself. I'd call them personal goals and discipline we need, yes. But unrealistic expectations of yourself, no. That's legalism and that's law. Some people say, I'd have rest if I could get married. Somebody else says, I'd have rest if I could get divorced. I'd have rest if I could lose 30 pounds. I personally would have more rest if the IRS would send my income tax refund check. It's always, have you noticed, it's the way human nature is. We always want just a little bit more than we've got. I want to tell you something. 6 inches below your chin lies everything you'll ever need. Rest. Return to your rest, oh my soul. Our blessed Lord Jesus is our eternal Sabbath. Now look at the text again. And for he has dealt bountifully with you. Well, how has he dealt bountifully with you and me? Well, to stay biblically oriented, he's given you the gospel. The best news that's ever fallen on human ears is the gospel. He gave us Bethlehem, the baby. I say every Christmas to everybody that'll listen, anybody can love a baby. But he gave us Bethlehem and the incarnation, and they human nature took the best gift God could give and gave it back to him on the point of a Roman spear. On a Palestinian hillside, he died that he didn't deserve for you and me who deserved it. And mercy and justice met, and mercy triumphed. That's the gospel and the resurrection. And I like to say it like this. Our Father knocked a hole in that grave and brought his Son out on the other side. And he spent 40 days with his children and with his people, and he ascended back to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit down to be with us John says it, he called it another. That word another is the word allos, which means another one. He said, I'm going to send another one just like me. And it dawned on me one day that if he sent another one just like him, he could probably do everything Jesus did. This is not rocket science. I have an announcement to make this morning. Pentecost has not been rescinded. It's not been rescinded. Glory to God. A first affirmation. Our blessed Lord Jesus is our eternal Sabbath. The second affirmation is this. We enter into His rest. That's exactly how the Hebrew writer put it in Hebrews 4. We enter into His rest. Wilma used to say, she used to ask, if this stuff doesn't work when you need it, what flipping good is it? That's a good question. She had a lot of good questions. So how do I live in His rest with everything screaming around me? Number one, we receive it as a gift or we go away with nothing. Our hands are made like our hearts to receive. John the Baptist said, no man can receive anything except it be given him from above. Look at your journey. Look at all you've received. Everything we've got, we received by faith. And we enter into His eternal Sabbath by faith. And it brings rest to our souls. Our Lord knew you were going to get weary. He'd been here on the dusty trails of fallen nature. And so we enter into His rest. First of all, we receive it as a gift, or we walk away with nothing. Dawned on me a few months ago, Father, I refuse to dishonor you anymore with my unbelief. And so I enter. I receive it. The second way we enter into rest, this is so crucial. I lived so many years without knowing this. I walked in the only light I have. I just didn't have enough light. The second way we enter into His rest is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit inducts me, integrates me, infuses me with His rest. Let me be clear. Calvary's finished works provide salvation rest. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit provides continuous rest. He imparts to me what Father has given to me. The Holy Spirit takes the things of God and makes them real to us. I used to tell my folks, I used to go to Huntsville every winter to the Von Braun Center, to the indoor rodeo. I'd tell my folks, I want to smell something real. Last Sunday was Father's Day. Thought about the legacy I wanted to leave, and I tell my kids I'm going to stay around 20 more years just to aggravate them. But one thing I would want my son to say, my father was not perfect, but my Father was real. The Holy Spirit takes the things of God and makes them real to you. We pastored 15 years without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Cora Ten Boom was so right on when she said, the most depressing, discouraging, disheartening, defeating thing a person can do is the work of God without God. And that's true in your daily walk on Monday morning when you go to work. Bless God, you're not going by yourself. So the Holy Spirit in 1983, I just about had it. And my wife had certainly had it. And she put a brochure in my hand and said, "You're going to this conference or I'm leaving you." She could be pretty plain. And I went to the Quinta Inn in Dallas. Sat under a man who 12 hours a day, all he did was read scripture. That's all he did. 12 hours a day. Somebody said, "Larry, you got brainwashed." And I said, "Yeah, my brain needed washing too." And I tell you, I got so free. I got so clean. When I came back home, this is the truth. I was so excited. I was so free. I couldn't sit down to cut my grass. I stood up on my lawnmower and mowed my grass. I don't think I had an impure thought for 6 months. I got so clean. He became so real. But I have to tell you the whole story. After I received the fullness of the Spirit, and I'm telling you this so none of us would ever believe that there is one experience we can have that exempts us from trusting God our life. Doesn't happen that way. So after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had two personal Gethsemanes. You're aware of one of them. My heart was wrenched. Isaiah did not say, "If you go through the waters." He said, "When you go through the waters." And it's through your struggles that you come out with the greatest messages. This self-pitying stuff's got to go. This negativity's got to go. When we were pastoring in seminary in East Texas, true story, one of our dear families had two children, Weath and Sean, and Carolyn, the mother, shared with Wilma and me one day. She said, "We got up one morning and he was such a terrible mood. He was so negative." And she said, I tried to get him to talk to him. He was all sullen faced and he wouldn't speak. And she said, "I put his breakfast down in front of him, his toast and his eggs, and he got even worse, huffing." She said, "Weath Benton Bryant, what in the world is wrong with you?" And he said, "Mother, you buttered the wrong side of my toast." Oh, my soul. That is so not rest. He wants you to have his rest. There is such a rampant mentality among us that seeks the approval rating from God. It's like God is saying, "You check these 7 boxes and I'll get back with you." Oh, no, that's not the gospel. Listen, folks, the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus is the only way he or we will ever be satisfied in this life. And it's the atonement that seals it all, settles it forever. One time, one man did it all. His rest. Here's something else I've learned about rest. To believe that you get everything you need at the point of conversion is like telling a starving man, it's like giving a starving man a teaspoon of Cool Whip. We've got to, he wants us to be so free. He wants you to be free. I shared with our dear pastor several days ago, And I hesitate because I don't like to talk about myself. But I'm the only me I've got. And I said, Pastor Eddie, I wish I could take what I have learned the last 2 years about Jesus and put it into a capsule form and give it away. And I said, I know it doesn't work like that. And he said, no, Larry, it doesn't work like that. But then he said something that had weight on it. That's why I'm sharing it. He said, but wherever you go, you say that. Amen. And I'm telling you, this is not preacher talk. This is reality. He is our eternal Sabbath. I think the most restful man I ever met was John Wimber. John Wimber is credited with founding the vineyard movement, although he never asked for that or sought it. Wilma and I went to several of John's conferences in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the 70s and 80s. Large crowds would come. He'd just read people's mail. And I've always wondered how this happened, but I laughed. One night I saw him. Peter Jennings interviewed him on the ABC Evening News. I'd love to know the story behind that. But Peter Jennings asked John Wimber, he said, John, how do you prepare for your big meetings? And here's what John told him. He said, I usually have a Diet Coke. That is being supernaturally natural. And that's who he's come to be in us. He will ruin you for anything else. When the wolf is at your door, send the lamb. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. One final thought and I'm done. Psalm 110 is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. In Psalm 110, the Father says to the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Sit. This is worth taking home right here. Rulers don't run and runners don't rule. He has commissioned us and called us and given us the authority to rule in the midst of our enemies. And we do so. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come, and I believe there's rest in this room this morning. And our band members are coming, and there'll be people here to pray for you. My dad told me the day I started preaching, he said, son, say what you have to say, shut up, sit down. Some of the best advice I ever received. So that's my message to you. Return to your rest. There is rest in this altar. Let's stand together, and as our members play, Holy Spirit, come. Bring your rest. You need to come. Just get a fresh dose, a fresh infilling. Whatever you need. Receive more of His rest right now. As we pray, Holy Spirit, you come. If you don't do it, it won't get done.
I just want to declare the words of Jesus over you this morning that He spoke over His disciples when they were in the middle of a major, major crisis. He said, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. He said, I give you peace that overcomes the world. And I pray right now that his overcoming peace, Pastor Larry shared with us this morning, that we'd leave here with that peace, with the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Thank you, Pastor Larry. What an awesome word. Could we honor Pastor Larry and the Lord who sent him? Such a good, solid, timely word right out of the scripture. Life on it. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Now, you remember in John 20 when Jesus breathed upon them the Holy Spirit? With that in mind, with the peace and the Spirit that Pastor Larry's talked about, just prophetically, I want us to, as agreement with this, that we want to be full of this peace and we want to be full of this Holy Spirit. I want us all together, and I'm going to tell you the right one to do it. Just take a real deep breath. Just prophetically, we're going to, just like we're receiving, just like the Lord's breathing on us, we're going to receive that. And by faith, we'll leave here today with a greater degree of rest, led by his peace, filled with his Spirit. Amen. 1, 2, 3. Breathe in. Thank you, Lord. Just thank him right where you are. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now let that breath out. And just let everything else go. You've got what you need. You got that from him. Just let the rest of it go. Amen. We are so blessed here at Grace House to have so many people that bless us in so many ways. Thank you, Pastor Larry. Pastor Matt shared in our earlier service out in the park, and it was a wonderful word. Pastor Doc will be sharing in the next service. And we're getting our tanks full up here today. Thank you all for being here. May God bless you. May that peace go with you. May his Spirit fill you to overflowing. May you be moved and motivated, compelled by his love. And may his abounding grace be yours moment by moment, choice by choice, situation by situation. That with the Apostle Paul we can say, I labored more abundantly than they all, but not I. It was the grace of God that he gave me, because no man can do anything except to be given from above. The Lord's reminded us of some big rocks today that we need to build our lives on. So let's go forth and build them there. Amen. Let's be light. Let's be love. And let's be filled with his joy. So in Jesus' name, go forth, change the world. Hope to see you soon. God's blessings to you. Amen.